Hello.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Don Primrose. I was just calling about 100 Nights.
Hi.
And in the past, it hasn't even been a year yet, but working with the city and city officials from the very top all the way down, there's been nothing but cooperation.
Oh, that's good to know. That's good to know, Don.
Thank you, sir.
You know, you, most people come up and there's a lot of negative thoughts about the government and the city, et cetera, et cetera. You get those questions, but, you know, that has never been the case from what we're doing. There are areas we're not happy with, but those are the rules that we all have to live by.
Right.
And the city has to stand up and protect those because it protects the community as a whole.
Right.
And the only trouble areas we've gotten into, and when we've worked in a gray area faster than the permitting process, but the city is all but bent over backwards helping us all the way through.
And for good reason. We benefit.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, what's happening now with sprinkler systems and alarm systems,
right?
We're going to be opening on the 21st of December, and everything is in place to be done by then, inspections and everything. So,
have you worked it out with the city? Because it didn't. It came up before the Finance Committee the Tuesday before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, there was some miscommunication. There was miscommunication as far as us having to been there.
Oh, okay.
The CEO was in the hospital and I was at an airport. But there were other people that could have been there, but we did not know.
Okay.
So there was miscommunication, but we've worked that out, and I think the schedule is going to work really well.
Mm-hmm.
And the individual this past week, there's nothing the city or we could have done. I mean, we're going to maintain ourselves as a cold weather shelter. And yes, it's cold today, and it will be cold after we close in the spring, but that's the service we provide.
And this from somebody who's doing more than anybody else that I know of to help people like the victim from last Thursday, was it? It's just terribly frustrating, I think, for people to know that that there are people out there. How do you, with all that you do, when an incident like this happens, how do you cope with it? What does it make you think, Mr. Primrose? How do you feel?
I don't believe there's anything else we could have done. I mean, this would have happened regardless of all the safety nets in place. Some people are going to fall through.
And people just don't like shelters. They don't want to be in a shelter.
I can't blame them.
Well, you know.
But no, I mean, there are individuals that will not go into housing. There are particular individuals that have been sleeping on city streets all summer who have been offered housing on a daily basis. And these individuals turn it down. And they're perfectly sane individuals. They just have a different
perspective.
Perspective, what they want to do.
And, but boy, I'll tell you, summer is one thing, but winter is quite something else. I can't imagine I'd stay out very long in the cold. I don't like the cold. And so.
Yeah, it's, there's an argument, and people are coming up to me personally all the time, why don't you open earlier? Why don't you stay open later? I mean, I have 26 beds sitting there empty in a warm facility. And we could open. Even if we had everything in place to open, I would not open still to the 21st.
Right.
Because that is our mission. And in the meantime, we give out sleeping bags. We give out tents. We now have a new program, the Open Doors. It's a resource center where people drop in 5 days a week for a lunch in a warm place, and also job counseling and triage, psychological counseling and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that occur?
That's occurring on the first floor where our shelter was last year.
On Lamson Street.
Right.
On Lamson Street. So the first floor is Open Doors. It's open 5 days a week. We'll be open 7 days a week when the soup kitchen closes, or they call it the community kitchen. But there's this free coffee and food there for lunch, and people come and go all day long.
Let me go back a minute. Did you say the community kitchen was closing?
No. They close up a couple of days around the holidays.
Oh, okay.
They have, in the fall, they close for a week or 10 days while they did some restructuring.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to duplicate services, so when they're not open, we'll have soup.
Okay.
And we've been doing that now for the past 8 or 9 months.
Okay.
So we've been following their schedule. They called us when they're going to close over the holidays, and they give us additional food so we can provide soup and coffee during those days they're closed.
You know, to change the subject just slightly, one of the hardest things I think that happens when someone like you volunteers is when a person comes up and says, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that?
Why aren't you doing more?
How do you deal with that? Doesn't that just make you want to shut down? Or, I mean, is there anything more negative about what you do than when someone makes a demand on you that you're already providing for free?
We get those type of demands every day. I mean, there are a lot of things we can do. And I would just tell the individual that that's a good idea. Why don't you put some people together and let's do it? We can talk about it. But we're working 8 days a week. We have 71 wonderful volunteers. It's really a community-based direction we're going in. It's good.
Are the donations coming in enough to keep it obviously afloat?
The last 2 months, 100 nights have been able to pay their rent for the first time on their own.
They have been able to?
The last 2 months.
Oh,
yes.
That's good. Yeah.
Yep.
That's good.
So donations are coming in still really slow. I'm hoping that there's an increase in that now.
If I wanted to donate, where would I go?
If you wanted to donate goods or services, if you want to write a check, you'd write it out to 100 Nights LLC. Then that's where cash donations. Other donations right now, we do have a wish list and it's online. We're looking for hats, coats, mittens, boots, thermal underclothes. At this time, we're only taking donations 2 or 3 days a week. I'm not sure. You have to call the facility because we've been inundated with blankets and sheets and pillows. But what we're doing is we're taking the extra that we get and we're bringing it out to other shelters and two people in the woods and two people that need it. So nothing's being thrown away. It's just that we weren't equipped to be a handling center for truckloads of blankets and sheets and things.
If I wanted or someone out there wanted to write a check, they would make it out to 100 Nights LLC and send it to 17 Lamson Street?
You could send it to 17 Lamson Street, and there's a post office box, which I don't have on top of my head at all.
833.
You've got it. Your answer. No, I've been out planting garlic in the frost, so I have no idea. That's how busy I've been with the shelf. I haven't had time to take care of my own garlic. So.
Oh, dear.
But no, we're opening December 21st at 5:30 on that day. The Monadnock Homeless Coalition is going to be having a candlelight vigil on the common, and we do have the permits to do that at 5:30. They're going to be reading the names off of... literally hundreds of people have died in the past few years, homeless in New Hampshire. And there's some singing, and there'll be some stories told. And then there's going to be a procession going to the shelter. We're going to be ribbon cutting, opening up our shelter. And then we're going to be moving on to another facility next door for open discussion for the community education of ideas and what we can do in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So the 21st is a pretty key day for us as far as opening and public awareness.
Okay. And so we will just...
Well, my hat's off to the city. I mean, even though we clash swords, they are really on the same page with us.
But that's really good to know. That's really good
to
know.
From the top to the bottom. I mean, the police department works with us well because a lot of these individuals camp out or sleep in their cars in areas they're not supposed to be in. And it's really win-win. The downtown merchants, I believe... have been very happy with us. They've endorsed us because we're helping some of this community have a place to hang out during the day warm, not in their stores and shops.
Right.
So it's been it's win-win.
Well, it's really good work that you're doing, and we thank you for it.
And we are looking for volunteers. We have sessions next week on Saturday and Sunday. We're doing training sessions. We do CPR sessions. We're going to be training with AEDs in the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. What are AEDs?
Automatic electronic defibrillators.
Oh, okay. All right.
So we, you know, our staff is being trained in that way. Plus, our staff goes to Concord almost monthly for free training that the state of New Hampshire puts on.
Okay.
So there's a lot of programs that are going on. Anyone could be involved in.
Okay. And if anyone wants to get involved, how do they do that?
You have the phone number. I don't.
Oh, okay. I do have the phone number.
Well, and the website, too, is
352-5197. 352-5197.
And the website?
Is 100nightsshelter@gmail.com.
No, that's
the email, or .org.
Oh.
Yeah, 100nights.org.
Org. 100nights.org. Okay, sorry.
Yep. But my hat's off to the city. They've been working with us, and you know, I've been working with them every day the past few weeks, and they can't do any more than they are doing, nor can we.
Right. So.
But and thank you guys.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Yep. Thank you very much for calling, Don, and for all that you do. One thing that we had a public hearing on was parking lots and parking in
parking
in general,
the parking ordinance. Yeah, it wasn't specific. This is where I get a little confused on this issue. It wasn't specifically about parking lots,
to construction of parking lots and parking spaces within the city of Keene.
Yeah, but it seemed ultimately at the hearing, it was more about how cars are managed when they're parked next to private homes.
Right.
In essence, Cynthia, as I remember it, we have a problem with cars parking on yards. That problem as it relates to curb cuts, because people will just make curb cuts that they don't realize are illegal.
Right.
The city has the prerogative to decide where a driveway curb cut goes and no one else.
Right.
So there are a lot of issues with folks who have created these new curb cuts.
And they're also talking about what the parking, it should be of gravel or cinder.
Yeah, they
showed some places where, who knows what, I mean, I guess it
just
was just
dirt.
One thing, I don't know that I had ever heard anyone, I don't say admit this, but say this, people have more vehicles now, and the houses in the downtown area were mostly built as single-family houses, and it was assumed that a family would have one car, maybe two.
Maybe two.
And all of a sudden, these large houses have been made into apartment houses where every tenant has one or two cars,
mm-hmm.
and there's much more parking needed than can be supplied by the, and this addresses it.
To some degree.
Right, going forward.
Going forward, and right. we were talking about that at the break, and unfortunately, we can't make it retro so that there's a grandfather clause there. In other words, that current violators of this ordinance are grandfathered in when the ordinance gets passed.
Except, if I remember, someone asked Matt a question about the cars that were parked up against the porch.
Yeah.
On one house, and they drive over the sidewalk. It's an asphalt sidewalk that goes right down to the road, just about, and they just drive across it. That can be addressed.
Because that's an illegal access to the road.
Right. Driving across the sidewalk to park is not, parking in your yard is not.
Yeah, and the reason it's regulated is there are safety concerns. The planning board determines, and now I believe it's the city engineer, if a driveway cut is allowed on a road, because there are line of sight issues. If the driveway's in the wrong place, there's a higher chance of a motor vehicle accident.
Right.
So we have to ensure that folks know that. And relative, I guess, to people not being aware of the public hearing, the city does its outreach as much as it can without going to the poorhouse. And yet, this is an ordinance, this parking ordinance we're talking about, that will affect quite a few people and how they manage their cars in the front yard or the side yard.
Right.
For instance, there's a suggestion that there be a setback from property lines so that, and a 15-foot, I believe it was 15 feet or 12 feet, setback from the road wherever you park your car. So in other words, if you're parking your car in your home and you've discovered you want to park it in a new location, it has to be at least 3 feet away from any property line and at least 12 feet, I think it was 15 feet, back from the public way. So that would change a lot of a lot of people would be affected if it was retrograde, so that suddenly everybody had to comply. But because of the grandfather clause, which I believe is stipulated by statute, state statute, which we have no control over, I'm not positive of that, but I'm pretty sure.
But I would think that this would be of great importance to people because it particularly if anyone has like even one apartment in their building.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a home and you've put a mother-in-law apartment or whatever up there, and someone could come in and all of a sudden you have more cars than you know what to do with. And but there was no one there from the public. There was no one there to address this. And people just complain about parking all the time, not just, I mean,
yeah.
You know, for a while when they were saying you can't park on the grass, and the city was enforcing that parking on the grass for a while in front of your home. I mean, I got a lot of calls. I got a lot of people that were talking about it. But still, they don't come out to discuss this so that...
That was 3 years ago.
Yeah,
that was
an issue. I know, but you just don't get out to... I still drive around and see cars on the grass and think they shouldn't be there. And but I don't know. Maybe...
Well, in this particular case, if there's a listener there who is interested in this, it goes before a committee, the Planning, Licenses, and Development Committee, and Chair Phil Jones announced Thursday that there are changes in store for this ordinance, so there will be another opportunity to come to a public hearing before council, and probably a chance, I won't speak for Phil, but I suspect...
Oh, with the changes, because now we've had the public hearing, so you can't go to PLD and speak on it unless...
Well, except that Phil has said that they're going to likely going to amend the ordinance, in which case then the whole hearing process reopens.
Right. 357-1290, good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Hi, Cynthia.
Hi.
Nat.
Good morning.
Hi, here's somebody who'll know.
I've listened to your show for years, but this is the first time I've ever called.
Well, welcome to
I'm calling about the parking ordinance.
Yes.
I wasn't able to go to the public hearing. I wanted to go and express my concerns. I think that the way the ordinance change is drafted, that this is going to create a lot of problems. And I understand where this all came from, the concern about the parking at rental units, especially with the college kids where they park all over the yard. And so I understand that they're trying to develop a regulation so they can do something about it. My concerns, I have a couple of them, and if you look at the language that they're proposing, they've taken the old ordinance, which was specifically related to commercial parking lots, and they talked about the parking orientation and the size of spaces, the width of the driveways, the drive aisles, and then where the parking lots met the public right-of-way. And they're trying to now make it apply also to single-family homes and to duplexes, which used to be exempt from these parking requirements. And I'm afraid what they're going to end up doing is they're going to make probably half the properties in the city of Keene non-conforming, the way this is currently drafted, and maybe even more than half.
But they will be grandfathered.
They will be grandfathered, but when you're non-conforming, and I get this all the time, I see ordinances go into place, and it creates a lot of non-conformities. People don't pay attention, they don't really care about it too much until they try to do something on their property. And then they find out you're non-conforming, you can't do what you want to do without going to the zoning board and applying for a variance. Or they discover it for the first time when they're up at code enforcement trying to get a permit to do what they want to do, and lo and behold, they've become non-conforming due to some change in the zoning ordinance. Or people are trying to sell their property, and the seller or the buyer, in doing their due diligence, discovers that this property that they're trying to buy or sell, and if you're buying, you're trying to get a mortgage, and you discover it's non-conforming. I get calls from real estate agents. I get calls from homeowners who say, my property's non-conforming. Can you go to the city and get them to write something that says that's okay, that I'm legally nonconforming? And the city of Keene will not do that. They will not issue a written statement that says your property is legally nonconforming. They'll let you go through the files and look for permits and look for things that show whatever you did on your property you did legitimately. but they will not document that you have a legal nonconformity. And it creates problems for lenders. If you're trying to get a mortgage, they want an attorney then to certify that this is okay, that you were legally nonconforming, that it came about as a result of a zone change much later than when you created your situation on your property. So it's not a free ride. When you're made nonconforming, it's an issue you're going to have to deal with sooner or later. With this driveway ordinance that you're talking about, one of the changes is they're eliminating the phrase that says the entrance to your parking lot or your drive aisle has to be a certain width, 12 feet per lane. And they're changing that to your driveway has to be 12 feet per lane. The driveway to my single-family home is only 10 feet wide, so I'll be nonconforming because my driveway is not wide enough. So you're creating a situation where for a new home to be built, they have to put down more pavement or more gravel or more concrete to have a wider driveway just to comply with the ordinance, even though you don't need it that wide.
Mm-hmm.
Or you need to apply for a variance. I do a lot of variances for many people. Now, I don't just work for developers. I also work for homeowners and property owners. And to go to the zoning board and apply for a variance, I do it cheaper than anybody else that I'm aware of in town. And the cheapest variance I can do is about $1,500. And it goes up from there depending on the complexities involved. If I bought another car or bought a boat and wanted to add a parking space in my existing driveway, because it's located in front of my home, even though I'm well back from the street, I would need a variance under this ordinance to do that.
Because this ordinance says that most, they mentioned this Thursday night, that most cars, we want the parking areas behind the house. They didn't mean behind, but they meant
behind the first
behind
plane.
The front line.
Where the front line of the house is
of
behind
the,
there.
Of the physical right. structure.
Right.
And in downtown Keene, where the oldest homes are located, you look at those homes on the lot, and it's the narrow side of the house that's facing the street. And the wider dimension, the longer dimension, usually runs into the lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because the lots are so small
right.
in the urban area. As you get away from the downtown area where newer homes were built, and I say newer, you know, homes that are 75 years or less, the lots are bigger, and most of those homes are oriented so that you see the wide dimension of the house. And if you have a garage, it's maybe on the left side or on the right side of the house. And a lot of people build their houses right up close to the front setback line. So when they pull in their driveway and your home is oriented as I described, you're now parking on your land, but within that front setback area. In your own driveway, you're nonconforming to this ordinance the way it's proposed.
Well, I think there are going to be quite a few changes on...
There's hundreds and hundreds of properties in that situation that this ordinance will make nonconforming. And that's my biggest concern is... It's not right to make all of these properties nonconforming in an attempt to address this issue with the way the rental units and college kids are parking.
You can't go and speak on Thursday night, I guess. But if they have another public hearing, you can.
I'll try to. If I don't have a conflict, I'll be there. I'm been working on a long email to send to all the counselors to express my concerns. I haven't had a chance to sit down with Med and discuss this with the director of code enforcement, but it's so many times I see language that gets put into these ordinances that Med understands because he worked on it, and the planning director understands because he worked on it, but I've been doing this for over 30 years, and over time, these people go away. They go to other jobs. They retire. And it's a new person reading this language and interpreting the ordinance. And if you read the words without having all of their background and try to interpret what it means, it's different
right.
than what a lot of people are saying and what they're describing. And that's how you have to approach these. And I know it's as counselors, it's really hard for all of you to be able to do it in that manner and to be able to understand all these implications, because you're dealing with everything in the city, not just issues that relate to zoning.
Right.
So so I feel for you people. I understand how hard you work, and I don't think many people do. I don't think they understand the hours and the commitment that you people give to the city of Keene, and it's a hard, thankless job that you do.
Thank you.
So I respect all of you for being counselors, but at the same time, I get really frustrated with how many of these ordinances play out. I'm hoping this will go back to committee. I heard Phil Jones made comments that he might want some changes, so I'm going to try to talk to as many of you as I can and share my concerns. But
it's important to note that this was talked about at considerable length by a committee for the ordinance.
Right.
So it's not a unilateral suggestion or even bilateral. There are a lot of people have been involved in all that. And yes, it's going back. And as usual, the caller makes some very viable points that would certainly... when you have a zoning ordinance that throws hundreds of properties into nonconformity, it's legitimate to say,
right.
How are we going to handle the nonconforming properties in the future? That's my thought.
And I think there's some hope that that nonconforming people will want to bring themselves into conformity, but
well, when you have a house,
they want to, and they may not be able to.
The further it's a phenomenon where I guess, and perhaps a caller can correct me on this, but the closer into downtown you get, the more it becomes a problem.
Right.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
You're seeing the older homes redeveloped, and they're adding more and more units, and a lot of the residents have multiple cars.
Yeah.
It's a legitimate issue. I just think that the way that this is drafted now, it's not the best solution.
Well, let's hope if you send a letter to all the counselors, maybe they'll
and frankly,
pick up on it.
The legitimacy was lent years ago when this parking on yard issue, at least in my memory, first came up. And it was created by these houses, as you said, Cynthia, that were originally family or two-family, mm-hmm. that then become more or less lodging houses and apartment buildings. They were never built for that function to begin with, and we see a lot of that because we're a college community, and as the student housing spreads, so do the number of cars. That, in combination with the fact that families own more cars now than ever before.
Exactly.
Kid in high school, well, it's not true, but many kids in high school now have cars. I know our kids had access to a car.
Right.
That wasn't the case 30 years ago or 40 years ago.
There's one more aspect I just want to point out to you, and I won't take up any more of your airtime, but they talk about curbing or a wheel stop or a bumper being required at the end of parking spaces other than for single-family homes. And with single-family homes, you're still allowed to stack cars in your driveway, one behind the other, and those count as legal parking spaces. And under today's regulations, you're also allowed to do that in a duplex. But under the proposed changes, a duplex is no longer eligible. So if you have a situation where you're stacking cars in the driveway, the city's now going to expect you to put wheel stops in or curbing or bumpers in, which obviously you can't do if you're stacking cars. But I'm just talking about the words here. I understand the purpose of the curbing. That's to keep the cars off the grass and out of the landscaping. So it's just worded improperly that you're requiring curbing at the end of every parking space, and in some situations, maybe it belongs on the side of the parking space.
Okay, well...
rather than at the end.
Send your letter to the counselors and...
I will.
I will do that.
I will. And good. Thank you again for all your hard work.
Well, thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
And you are listening to Talk Back on the news station, WKBK 1290 AM and 104.1 FM. Nat Stout and I will be back after these messages. And we are back on Talk Back. I'm Cynthia Georgina.
And I'm Nat Stout.
Still playing with his smartphone here. 357-1290 is our number. We do invite you to call. Good morning. You're on Talk Back.
Hey, good morning, guys. It's Ian with Freekeen.com. How are you today?
Well, thank
morning.
You.
All right. I was just tuning in here this morning, and I heard that last call about the new parking restrictions, and I didn't quite get a catch wind of exactly everything that that is being proposed, but my understanding was that the city government guys intend to make it more difficult to park if you've got a small property, with like a duplex or something like that.
Well, if, I mean, you'd be grandfathered in if you have already have a parking shortage in your yard, you would continue to have one and it would be grandfathered. But if you were going
so
to go out,
for new, is
yeah,
it for new,
would be
new houses?
A new, if you go out and build a new
okay.
new property.
I was a little
it'll
concerned
little,
because I never heard back Cynthia, maybe I just missed it on one of the weeks, but I never heard about the curbs. I'd called and asked about these granite curbs that were being put in my neighborhood, the northwest section
right.
of Keene. Did you ever drive by and take a look at those?
I did. As a matter of fact, my friend lives on Castle Street, and she mentioned that they were high and were having a problem parking, you know, on the side of the street because they're right out in the street. But I talked to, I don't remember who now, at City Hall, and they told me that they were going to have a top coat of
asphalt
put on, and then they would be down, so they'd be like, I don't know, 4.5 inches, 6 inches high,
There's a standard height.
Right. So I think they will be doing this eventually.
Well, I sure hope so, because I hope that stuff does not expand to my street, because it's very, you know, I've got a parking area that makes it so people could just pull right off the road and park, and it's very convenient, and it made it so I didn't have to really cover up any of the yard or anything
right.
like that.
But don't let them park there in the winter.
And, well, no. It's all, they can park all the way up onto my property right off the road. It makes it so they don't have to park in the street on the wintertime. But if a curb like that comes into place, there's no way that'll work, because, you know, most people don't drive monster trucks, and so they, you know, they won't be able to get up over that.
Right.
So.
Well, there are restrictions to access to a public way, and whether or not you have a curb is irrelevant to whether your drive, the drive you're using, complies. There's a procedure for approval of new driveways, but illegal driveways, and I'm not implying that yours is, but there can be, there are, in fact, many properties in the city where folks have created a place to park on their property, but they're accessing the road illegally. And the reason for the legality is not so much aesthetic, which might have been implied in our previous discussion, as it is in safety. So, for instance, if you have two abutting driveways and then across the street somebody else has created a third that isn't city approved, there's a potential for conflicts between the vehicles. So that's the reason that I see, and it's a perfectly utilitarian reason for providing a legal stipulation as to how you access the public way.
Well, you know, I don't really concern, you know, that. Nobody's had any problems, so I don't really know what your rules are, and it doesn't really matter to me. You know, the other point I wanted to make here was that you mentioned that people are adding units to their property. You know, what used to be a duplex might be a triplex, et cetera. And the reason for that would seem to be because it's so incredibly expensive to live here in Keene. Specifically, I'm talking about property taxes. I don't even know how somebody can afford a single family without being independently wealthy in this town. It's so expensive. I mean, I just cut a $3,000 check for property taxes, and that's only for half the year. So how you could possibly afford that as a single family person working in, you know, making $20,000 a year or something like that, it's not even in the realm of possibility. The only way that somebody in that kind of income bracket could possibly afford to live in Keene is to, you know, purchase a multifamily, and then there's that incentive to add units maybe where units shouldn't belong, or add more people into an existing unit to simply bring more money in to try to cover these insatiable property taxes.
And I'm sure that happens. You know, people do that, but I don't know. And again, the property taxes are indicative of the state as well as just the municipality. The state is giving less and less to the municipalities, and so they have to, I mean, it costs what it costs to run the city.
It's undeniable we have high property taxes, and we try to figure out a way for people to stay in their homes. It's a very viable point, without question. The property taxes are huge, but it's also got to do with the structure of revenue raising in the town, the state, and now, of course, and always has been, the federal level.
Yeah, I understand y'all have you have to deal with what you need to deal with. I get that. But certainly looking around the rest of the state, clearly there are other places that likely offer similar governmental services that Keene does that have lower tax rates.
But
that's probably because they have a lot more, they have a large industry or something.
And don't forget, we have a large assessment of non-taxable property in this city.
So, in college towns.
Which is one of the reasons why our tax rates are undeniably among the highest.
Right.
All right, guys, I think that's about all I had. Please, you know, leave parking alone, leave people and their property alone, let them make their own decisions. If there's a conflict, then, something needs to be worked out between people. But until then, I think that the city needs to leave their hands off. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.